Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished branding and HR guru from Barbados, Mr. Ron Johnson. Ron, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you, or good evening, wherever you are in the world?
Ron is the managing director and co-founder of Blueprint Creative. He's an author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of a book titled Tighten Your Shoelaces: How the World's Leading Companies Defend and Grow Their Brands During a Crisis. So Ron, tell me about your journey in brief and what led to the creation of Blueprint Creative.
Okay, so my educational background is possibly a little bit odd in comparison to what I do now. My first degree was in biology. Mm-hmm. So I spent 4 years doing a bachelor's in biology, and about 6 months before I graduated, I realized I don't particularly like biology. Mm-hmm. So I did an MBA program. This was all in Trinidad. Came back to Barbados, worked in the printing industry with my dad. Fortunately, he passed away. And me and my co-founders started Blueprint Creative, which is a design agency. We took all the knowledge that we had accumulated academically and also practically to start the agency. Mm-hmm. Fun fact about me, my co-founder and I started a magazine called Circuit Magazine, and we were the first magazine in the world to have Rihanna on the cover. And of course, Rihanna is a global superstar, and she's from Barbados, so we were quite proud about that. And that's how Blueprint Creative came around. We started a design firm, and then we moved into branding and now into a niche area that combines conventional branding and HR.
Fascinating. So you created the branding equation, and I love the spelling of branding, B-H-R-A-N-D-I-N-G, which is branding plus HR. Help me understand this whole concept of branding plus HR.
Sure. So if you roll back conventional branding to say 10, 15 years ago, it was really all about the customer, mm-hmm. right? You're trying to communicate to the customer about your specials, your deals, the quality of your product and services. It was all about the customer. But modern companies, of course, understand that it now has to be about the employees and the team members. Mm-hmm. Even the most clever marketing advertising campaign targeting customers is going to fail if you have disengaged employees, right? And there are a bunch of quotes and a bunch of third-party people that I can reference. But one that sticks out in my mind is the way you treat your employees is the way they will treat your customers.
Right.
So modern companies understand that brands are built from the inside, not the outside, again. So if brands are built from the inside, it should mean that HR professionals, these are the ones most likely responsible for company culture, employee engagement, employee experience, internal communications. It stands to reason that HR professionals, in a way, are branding professionals because they defend the brand. They don't do it in the same way that marketing does it. But when you look at marketing and HR, it's really two sides of the same coin. Mm. Both are trying to engage people. So whenever we are working with a client and the client is looking to grow the business through conventional branding, we sometimes nudge and sometimes insist that the HR manager has to be in the room because we need to know about things like what's the level of employee engagement. If you put this ad out telling people about a great service and they come into your doors and they receive poor service, the ad campaign is going to fail. So I strongly believe that branding professionals should embrace HR professionals and bring them into the fold because they definitely help defend the brand.
Fascinating. You know, I've spent over 4 decades in branding, and this is an amazing revelation to me, Ron, that, and you're so right about it, that HR professionals should be as involved in branding as a lot of the other leadership. This is incredible. Thank you for sharing this. So my question to you also is that what are some common misconceptions about the role of HR in brand building?
Yeah. So I think one of the major misconceptions, and from my perspective, let me take a step back. And this is only my perspective. I'm not saying this is a rule of law, but I've come across two different categories of HR professionals. The first category is more transactional. The old way of thinking, where HR is the policy police, and everyone doesn't like HR because they're just about rules and regulations and contracts and disciplinary actions. And then there's the transformational HR. These are the ones who are trying to come up with new and innovative solutions to build a stronger company culture, very focused on employee engagement, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how I see HR. One of the misconceptions about HR is that they are still the old policy police. In modern companies, that isn't so. Yes, they may enforce policies, but they're more focused on transforming the organization. So I think that would be the main misconception.
Fascinating. And what, in your view, is a way that companies can empower HR leaders to become active core defenders of the company's brand?
Right. So I think it calls for, first of all, acknowledging that they are co-defenders of companies' brands. That's the first thing, because a lot of companies haven't even reached that conclusion as yet. So you first have to, I guess, educate yourself to see. And if you look at what major companies over there, all across the world, are doing, from Airbnb upgraded its HR department to become an employee experience department. We've come across examples in our research where companies are forming employee engagement teams comprising of both HR and marketing. So that's the first step, recognizing that HR professionals really are branding professionals. The second thing is to make sure that everyone is looking towards the same goals in terms of employee engagement scores, in terms of revenue, whatever metrics it is that you are trying to achieve. Then you get them into the room, get them talking, get them to understand the role that their colleagues play. And then you decide from them what type of relationship you want from your HR and marketing. We've come across examples where the relationship is very, very, very formal, as in there's a department called engagement. And then we've come across examples where it's a little bit more ad hoc, in the sense that there are no scheduled weekly meetings. There's no official department to speak of, but there's a realization between marketing and HR that they need to work together.
Very interesting. And for many, many years, I've often heard this one phrase: marketing is not everyone's cup of tea. What skills should HR professionals develop to contribute more effectively to branding efforts?
Strangely enough, I would say the number one skill would be marketing. The if you take a look back in history, when social media first came out, a lot of job postings were for social media specialists. That has changed because now marketing managers are expected to know social media tactics and strategies as part of their portfolio. I think the same thing is going to happen with HR, where currently HR departments are bringing in professional marketing help into the department. I believe that the HR professional of the future will be required to know at least the very basics of branding and marketing, and it's going to be part of their job. Because when you think about it, a lot of HR professionals are responsible for the employer brand. That's part of marketing. A lot of HR professionals are responsible for storytelling. That's traditionally been a marketing role. A lot of HR professionals are responsible for internal communications, and communications has traditionally been a marketing role. So I think the number one skill that HR professionals need to pick up would be marketing. And I'd say this, I did a podcast interview with a young lady from Trinidad called Jane White, and she was not invited to the strategy table. And she literally and figuratively dragged the chair across the hall to the strategy table. She didn't get an invitation. She sat there. She said, "Guys, I'm here. I'm enjoying the meeting." And she's now the CEO of her company. So she understood marketing, but she also understood the language of business. And that would be the second skill that I think HR professionals should know, how to speak the language of business so that the CEO, the CFO understand it's not like a warm and fuzzy initiative that this HR professional wants to do. This has an impact on the bottom line. So
Amazing.
yeah, those two, marketing and understanding the language of business.
Amazing. Thank you. My next question is, how does employee experience shaped by human resources translate into brand advocacy?
Can you repeat the question, please? Sorry.
How does employee experience shaped by HR translate into brand advocacy?
Well, the first thing, the question is phrased beautifully because employee engagement is the beginning of your entire brand,
Absolutely.
right? If you don't have good employee engagement, nothing is gonna go well. It's I always tell clients it's unreasonable to ask this illusioned, disengaged employees to deliver the type of customer service they need to bring customers and transform them into raving fans. So when we're talking about employee advocacy, whether that advocacy is for something happening internal to the organization, or the advocacy means that the employees advocating for their organization to external audiences, it's I think the question almost answers itself because you have to have employee engagement to shape the advocacy. You have to have employee engagement to shape the storytelling. You have to have employee engagement to shape company culture, et cetera, et cetera.
Well said, well said. Thank
It's
you.
the beginning of everything.
Absolutely right. And therefore, my next logical question is, what are some effective strategies for HR teams to break down silos and foster collaboration with branding teams? And
Yeah,
it's
so this
often
is
been
some.
said, Ron, that, and I've heard this too many times in the corporate world, all the blue eyes are in marketing.
All the blue eyes are in marketing. I never heard that one. What does that
Basically
translate
saying,
into?
who are the blue-eyed guys in an organization? And they said marketing people in most organizations are numero uno. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the effective strategies for HR teams to break down silos and foster collaboration with the branding teams?
Okay, so awesome. So I'll give you from my perspective because I'm a branding professional. What I'm doing is advocating for branding professionals to embrace HR. So we do that all the time. Whenever we have a client meeting on a particular project, we will ask the CEO permission to bring HR into the conversation. That is branding making the first step. Think of it as you're trying to woo a date or a spouse, you send these overtures. Do you mind coming to this meeting and contributing? And of course, some HR professionals might not understand why they're in your room, but you explain to them that you're a co-defendant brand. All of a sudden, they're really excited about it. And I'm very glad that HR professionals are excited about it because I remember the first time that I talked about this branding equation. This was about 7 years ago. It was in the Cayman Islands. And I'd never mentioned it to anybody outside of our company before. And the night before the talk was supposed to happen, I went to the IT team and I said, please include this one slide. And it had the word branding. And as soon as I got to that slide, the HR professionals in the room did this and started taking notes, right? And afterwards, people came to me and said, this is exactly what I was trying to convince my boss of. So from a branding perspective, you can invite HR to come into the room with you, explain why you're there and why they're important and why you need them to work hand in hand with us. From the HR perspective, I know that for our years, the burning question around the water cooler was, should HR professionals have a seat at the strategy table? And I think that question has mostly been answered with a resounding yes by modern CEOs. But HR professionals should also have a seat at the branding table. And if that is not occurring, I would go back to my reference to the HR professional in Trinidad that I mentioned, where she dragged her chair. She didn't have an invitation, but she dragged her chair and said, "Guys, I can contribute to this conversation." And that's what she did,
Amazing.
literally. And then she became an indispensable part of the conversation. And she was speaking the language of business. So a lot of it calls for transparency. There needs to be a view towards the future. What are we working towards? And why are we working together? Of course, this is because of us, the synergies that happen when the sum of the parts is more, the whole is more than the sum of the individual parts. So there are, again, tackling it from two different perspectives. And from my perspective of branding, reach out to HR. HR, if you're not part of it, reach out to marketing and say, "I can help. And here's how you can help," and drag your chair.
Well said. You also have six keys of your branding equation. And again, branding for our viewers and listeners, spelled BHRANDING. Explain to me your six keys and how they synergize branding and HR efforts.
Okay, so I'm just gonna. I realize we're a little bit short on time, so I'm gonna be as fast as possible. The first key is very much about starting to end in mind. What is it you're trying to achieve? If you're not starting to end in mind, and different people are aiming for different things, you're really gonna be in trouble as a brand. The second key is to tell a compelling brand story. Storytelling is really, really huge right now. Really, really huge. And you do have to start out on the right foot with the stories that you're telling. Another key is to build an engaged village. In Barbados, we say that it takes a village to raise a child. At Blueprint, my company, I say it takes a village to raise a brand. So when you're talking about building a brand, it can't just be the marketing department. It just can't be the marketing department. It has to be marketing, HR, the entire employees across the organization being a part of brand building. It has to. Another step is to anchor your culture in place. And by that, I mean use things like your purpose, your core values. Sometimes you have internal mantras, rewards, and recognition, because as you grow, it's going to be a lot more difficult to, when companies are small, and you can just reach out and touch people and say, "Hey guys, we're all in this room, let's have a huddle together." It's very easy. But you grow up from 5 to 10 to 100 to 250 to 1,000. The CEO is no longer in touch with everyone every single day. So by using what we call brand anchors, you kind of anchor your culture in place, because everyone knows what behaviors are accepted in the organization and what on the job behaviors are simply not tolerated. And it makes it easier to kind of grow your brand because everyone's on the same page. Another key is build a remarkable branding environment. And I use that term remarkable purposely. We always tell our clients, don't try to aim for excellent customer service or exceptional service. Because what does that mean? You can't really measure it, right? What is good service for me might be terrible service in your opinion. But when you say aim for a remarkable experience, it's binary, meaning people either remark about it or they don't remark about it. If they remark about it, it's remarkable. And by remark, I mean remark in a positive way, it's remarkable. If someone comes into your organization and they have an experience and they say nothing about it, it's not remarkable. And it means that you haven't done a good job. So build a remarkable brand experience in terms of both employee experience and customer experience, because your customer experience will never exceed your employee experience.
Okay. Well said.
And then last step is what we call this measure, monitor, and refine. It's just checking those metrics and making sure that they are in the parameters with which you wish them to be.
Well said. Thank you. So I have time for two more questions. I'm going to one more
Sure.
question relating to HR and branding, and then I want to have ask you a question about your book. My next question is, how does organizational culture influence branding, and what role does HR play in managing culture?
So organizational culture is extremely important when it comes to branding. We've had one of my favorite authors, unfortunately, he's passed away, Tony Hsieh from Zappos. He actually said, "Your brand is your culture, and your culture is your brand." Right? If you have a highly engaged culture where your employees and team members are excited about helping you to make to reach and to exceed your branding and customer experience goals, your business goals, then you're in a much better position. If you have a culture that is toxic, you're not going to achieve the goals you set out to be. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, and it's a cliche because it's so true. What culture eats strategy for breakfast. I would go as far as to say that culture eats strategy for breakfast, lunch, and dinners, and it takes the leftovers home to eat for the next day. Culture directly shapes your brand. And it's not just about being warm and fuzzy. We're living in an environment where consumers are a lot more aware of things like the brand's values, right? So, for instance, Patagonia, billion-dollar company, people know what that brand stands for. They have a culture of when the I think the author wrote a book called Let My People Go Surfing, I think it was, and they have a culture of allowing people to leave the office and have fun. They also have a culture where paradoxically they encourage people not to buy their clothes if they're ripped or anything, but to repair it, right? So they have one type of culture. Airbnb has a different type of culture. Different people have different types of cultures, but the culture that you have directly shapes the brand because consumers are making decisions on purchasing, not just based on the quality of your product or service, but also based on the values that the brand espouses. And they're hyper aware. So if they feel that your values as a company don't align with my values as a consumer, they're still not going to buy from you.
Thank you. And Patagonia is a fantastic example that you've shared with our viewers and listeners. Ron, my last question to you, and this is about your book, Tighten Your Shoelaces: How the World's Leading
Yes.
Companies Defend and Grow Their Brands During a Crisis. And I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Ron Johnson's book. I will check it
Thank you.
myself. Ron, tell me about your book and what was your hypothesis when you wrote it?
Okay. So, first thing, the book was supposed to be called something completely different. But then when I checked it, it was already copyrighted and I was a little bit bummed out for a few days. I really liked that title. And then I remembered a story that I begin all of my webinars or speaking engagements with. And this story is about these two guys. They're walking through the woods, and all of a sudden, they encounter this huge, angry bear that's ready to devour them. So one guy bends down and he starts to tighten his shoelaces because he's obviously thinking of making a run for it. The second guy looks at him and says, "What the heck are you doing? You can't possibly outrun the bear." And the first guy takes off running. He looks over his shoulder and he says, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you." Meaning that natural selection will take place. Sometimes you don't have to outrun the entire economy. Sometimes you just have to do a little bit better than your competitors, and you will be able to live to fight another day. So that's the premise of the book. So the entire book is designed to help people tighten their shoelaces, meaning be a little bit more effective here, be a little bit more efficient here. And my approach, I think I am, yes, I'm an author, but I consider myself a storyteller. So I use stories to as analogies for how people can tighten their shoelaces. And I also use a lot of direct business examples. Everyone from, Airbnb, Lego, BlackBerry, iPhones. And these stories help people to understand, okay, so it's not a theoretical classroom book. It's more of a, this is very easy to read. The principles in it are very, very sound. And I see how I can apply this principle from here in the book to my business over here.
Very interesting. Ron, and on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking to me about the branding equation, which is branding plus HR equals branding. Thank you for speaking to me about so many aspects of how HR professionals are absolutely key to not just building culture, not just looking after people, but also in looking after the brands of a company. With them on the side of the marketing group, I think brands will really fly. Thank you also for speaking to me about the six keys of your branding equation. And finally, thank you for speaking to me about your book. Thank you again, and good luck to you.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. Your questions were very, very, very engaging. I think you're doing an awesome job as an interviewer. And thank you for interviewing, people from all over the world and hearing their perspectives.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.